profit, but there's seven funders after that. There's a lot of other things, and I'm working on it still. It gives me something to do. But what I wanted to tell you was, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, now wait a minute. I've got it settled what I believe about the seven trumpet rapture and the seven thunders, and I'm frantically working on some other things after that, and it's very difficult. I lay there every day, and I got to thinking, are you sure about the seventh trump? Yeah, I am. You say, why are you so concerned about when the rapture is going to occur? You already know it's the seventh trump. You just don't know quite when the seventh trump is going to go off. And why are you concerned about whether or not there's going to be a gap between certain parts in there? And there's lots of different beliefs on that. And I suddenly, after just laying there all week thinking about it and trying to reason out some things, I suddenly thought, what the Samuel am I worried about? Let me tell you what came to my mind. And you say, well, I've thought about that for a long time. Well, good for you. It's good for you. And here's the conclusion I came to. What happens on the first trumpet? Lord have mercy. Just read that. We're going to be here. What's going to happen on the second trumpet? We're going to be here. What's going to happen on the third trumpet? We're going to be here. Go on down to where these creatures come out and have long hair like women and all that stuff. Well, I solved that a long time ago. I didn't solve it. I know I'm right about it. We're going to be here. So I went over and I thought, good Lord, why am I not worried about that? Because God will see me through it. It's that plain. It's that simple. And I'm not trying to hedge the way out of talking about the rapture and the split rapture and lots of different things, but I never realized how many possibilities there were on this thing. And I just laid there and thought about it some more, and I thought, why am I so cotton-picking concerned about all this trouble we're going to have from the seventh trumpet to the end of the tribulation period, whether there's a split rapture in there or where there isn't? And I'm going to tell people, you had better get your life straight, because this business about a split rapture and this business about the seven thunders, don't worry about it. I can just quit worrying about it. You say, well, are you still trying to figure it? Yeah, but I sure don't worry about it. If these creatures are going to come out of the earth, out of the bottom, out of the Bisu Friatos, Eklis Tu Friatos Tesa Bisu, if these creatures are going to come out of the bottomless pit, and I understand it, and I think I know exactly what's going to happen. Well, why don't I worry about that? I know what's going to happen. You say, well, what else do you know? God's going to see me through it. God's going to see me through it. You say, well, what about the split rapture? I don't care. God's going to see me through it. You say, well, what if you die? Well, that's a pretty good deal. I'll probably be killed as a martyr. I couldn't think of a better way to go. So if God's going to see me through all this, and if I die a martyr, who benefits from that? Me. If there's a split rapture and I discover that I wasn't as good a pastor as I possibly thought, and I wasn't humble enough, and I didn't do what was right. Well, he's already forgiven me. I'm going to heaven. I'm not high-spirited anymore. He's taught me an awful lot. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to come over here and tell you what I think about stuff, and you're going to make up your own mind anyway. I don't mind being wrong. David Robinson said something to me one time when I first went to the seminary. We were talking about something, and I gave him a pretty good argument, and I won it. After that was over, I said, I'll never do that again. I aced every test he ever gave, and that's the only B I ever made. And I know exactly why he did it. David said, I would rather be right than president. And I tell you what, I'd rather be humble than president. God teaches you a lot of things along the way. Some learn, some don't. I'm not the same man I was at the time all that happened, and he's not the same man he was. So here's my point, and I'll make it real plain. We are definitely going to be here. And we're going to have to go all the way to the seventh trumpet. Go in there and read all that stuff up in the seventh trumpet. You want to be scared? You want to be scared of something? Well, go ahead and worry about that and when that's going to occur and all that stuff. I've already got that figured. I know what's going to happen. You say, what's going to happen if it don't turn out the way you said? Well, God will get me through it. You say, well, what if those are great flying wasps that look like airplanes that come down with hair like women? Well, I'll just be wrong, won't I? You say, what's your point? God will see me through it. You say, well, why do you study all this then? Because I'm curious about what God's got to say. And I think that those disciples, when they'd already been saved, scripturally baptized, they were following after Jesus. They knew what the Lamb was, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God. They immediately took off and followed him. Why? Well, they knew what the Lamb was supposed to do. Not exactly. But they knew how important that the Lamb of God, the offering was. They knew how important the offerings were. So they followed Jesus. He knew they were following him. Turned around and said, what seek you? And they talked to him, and he already knew what they were seeking. They asked him some questions, and he said, come and see. Why are you here tonight? Is it because I'm the world's greatest teacher? No, absolutely not. Is it because I'm always right about something? No, absolutely not. I'm a very human person. I am your pastor, and I am legitimate, and I am God called, and here I am. But what I've learned is, the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, well, what are you interested in? I'd like to see Robert inside the kingdom city. I'd like to see him living in the same, in the immediate presence of the Lord. You say, well, what if you don't make it in immediate presence of the Lord? Well, that's the way it should have been. You say, well, are you out of your mind? No, I don't want a will. I gave up a long time ago on having my own will. Well, maybe not so long ago. I just want God's will to be done. I believe I was saved by grace. You say, no, you were saved by repentance toward God and faith toward His Son. Yeah, that's true. You say, well, you weren't saved by grace. God opened and made it possible for me to receive him. And when I received him, what did I do? What does repentance mean? I turned toward God, metanoia, and I put my faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, to save me. And I got saved. You say, well, did you understand all that for? I didn't really understand all that completely until I got around to other preachers, Chuck being one of them. And I saw it and I said, that's right. That's absolutely right. So what do I enjoy doing? You know what the Lord says to me? Come and see. So I reckon I'll just keep coming on and see until the day I die. And that'll be just fine. Because I'm talking to you right now and the Lord's not bothering me at all. But I'm very grateful for what men have taught me. And I'm very grateful for men like Kenneth and Robert and Chuck. All that here that work and serve in the church. This is number three. And are the others over there? You got the number. Okay. Well, I'll just let them put that down. Now, this is Kalaza is coming. And I looked at that and I said, well, I said, Kenneth, she told me, she says, Kenneth said, what happened to Kalaza? And I said, she said, he just put that aside and he went on with preaching on some other things. And I told you I'd come back to it. So this is number three. You know, the Catholics believe when you take that bread, it turns into the Lord when it goes down inside you. I don't want you chewing on this. Oh.
Let's lock your chair. You're going to be back in the baptistry if we don't.
Oh.
I know he's going farther and farther back.
Oh, well, give Chuck some of them.
Give me a towel?
Don't give him those that got the split. Don't go give him. Don't give him those that got the split wraps.
There you go. How's that?
Oh. If anyone should understand spiritual growth, it should be the Apostle Peter. And here's God's plan and what God's will is. You know what happened to Peter. You've heard it so many times, you probably know what a lot of the words mean. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Well, I guess people would say, think how long it's been since the Lord was crucified. Think how long it's been since the world was creation. God created the heavens and the earth. Well, don't commit blasphemy against the Spirit. There's a good reason for that. You say, well, have you ever said something that would apparently hurt the Father's feelings? Have you ever apparently done anything that would hurt the son's feelings? Have you ever done anything that hurt the Spirit's feelings? Well, God performed all three offices. And it's very interesting to look at Christ and see how he told them that he had to go. And he had to go because he had fulfilled the last office. And he is still fulfilling it and will continue to fulfill it. But you don't know how happy I am. I don't have to worry about the rapture or anything else. Like that, anything that has to do with prophecy. He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. And he said, go ye therefore. Conclusion. Go ye therefore and teach all. Go ye therefore and teach all men. And he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We do this here because all three offices were fulfilled by the one and only God himself. He fulfilled three different offices. And it all involved God's promise to man. It's by grace. But you can't just casually say, okay, Lord, I'd like to be saved. And you can't go out on a street in a white sheet and say, I want to tell you about Jesus so you can be saved. And you have to have reverence about this. So when it said, and I was very grateful to Chuck because Chuck helped me to understand this in the correct way. Not that I ever doubted it, but I really just didn't understand the first part of it. Because when I got saved, I repented of my sins and I turned to the Lord and I believed Jesus was his son and I was saved. After I accepted that Jesus fulfilled those three. I didn't know he fulfilled those three offices. But I kept asking for salvation. And finally, one day, this was when I was very young. I was about 7 years old. I suddenly realized that God's book really is inspired. Up until that time, I had believed it because my grandfather, who I respected more than any man I've ever known, believed that. And I believe it. The preachers that I had believed it. But as far as baptism was concerned, I got baptized. But I didn't understand baptism until after I was made able to understand it. Because God led me to him. Come and see. And I got saved. Then God called me to preach, and here I am. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, you can worry all you want to about me being saved, but you got a problem, because I know I'm saved. And other people have helped me with this, and I understand it now, and I understand, but you'd be surprised how much Chuck has helped me. But when I came up here, I was saved, scripturally baptized, and I was determined to pastor this church the way that God wanted, and I was very unaware of my own ignorance and my own vanity. In 1 John 5:6-18, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. If you want to find one thing that has always been in religion, true and false religion, sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. And Jesus said that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I learned to worship Him in spirit and in truth as He taught me. I said, do this, and I did it. You say, well, did you do it? No. He convicted me of my sins. And He made me realize that my baptism didn't save me. No way. I can prove it. But it is something that does not involve salvation, but involves obedience to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And my life has been one of continually seeking to find out, Lord, how do You want me to worship You? How do You want me to pastor this church? And I've asked Him to give me wisdom, understanding, and discernment. And He has. There's some things about the Bible I hope in this series I can talk about and give you some understanding about some things I've discovered by God's grace and mercy. Water, He was a flesh and blood man. You can't live without water in your system, and He was a man without sin. And He was a man who sacrificed and gave His own blood. So He was saved and sanctified, resurrected Himself, but He was God. I didn't understand all that, but I didn't have to. What I had to understand was, you need to be saved. I couldn't understand baptism until after I got saved. Well, I got baptized. It's one thing to get genuinely saved and then run away from it, to obeying God the rest of your life. You say, well, you can't do that. Well, I sure don't recommend you trying it. But I'm saved, scripturally baptized. I am the legitimate pastor of this church. For there are three that bear, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. I could not understand the truth until I was saved. So I got saved. Then I learned about the Father in heaven, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. There's only one God. And Jesus Christ fulfilled the three offices. And the last office He fulfilled was that of the Holy Spirit. Now you can say words that you would normally think, God doesn't like that, and you'd be right. And I know, who was it that went out there and told, was it Ashley? Went out there and told the man on the roof?
No, that was Brooke.
Brooke?
They were putting a roof on a church.
And, yeah, Brooke. And that was, she's just a little girl. And he was up on putting that roof. And he let off with a big GD. And she said, she looked up at him. He looked down at her. And she's a cute little girl. And she said, you shouldn't talk like that. God doesn't like that. Well, he apologized to her, said he wouldn't do it again. So how did I start doing what I'm doing? God said, come and see. Then he started working on me. And I began to try to obey him. The more I tried, the worse I realized, I'm terrible. I didn't know how carnal I was. I had no idea how carnal I was. Oh, they told me I was totally depraved. Well, what's totally depraved? And I came to find out I was totally depraved. And once God saved me, then I understood. I can't get to heaven unless I repent toward God and put my faith in His only begotten Son. And then gradually I began to learn a lot of other things. And I saw how completely dependent I am for my salvation and the continuance of it. And this is the Spirit that heareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. I've said this many times. I would never have said it unless God hadn't laid it on my heart. The first messages I preached when I came to this church, I said, if you offend the Holy Spirit and will not listen to what He teaches and will not accept His offer, will not repent toward Him. And I told what repent meant, and I told what the only begotten Son, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, he was and is, because it was the office he fulfilled. It was the last one. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three that bear witness, and that are one, bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all these three agree in one. I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized. I'm in the right church. I was called to pastor this church, and here I am. I am not spiritually proud. I guess I was when I came here, but if you're totally depraved, you don't realize that. And God taught me that. I'm not the same man anymore. God lives inside me. He won't let me be, and I don't want to be. He reminds me constantly. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of men which He hath testified of His Son. I got saved when I repented toward God and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew about Christ. I knew He was the Lamb of God. I understood He was sacrificed. I understood He died for me. And I was saved. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. What do you think you're hearing right now? I have the witness in myself. He lives in me. And He constantly reminds me, Tom, if it wasn't for me, you'd go straight to hell. And if it wasn't for you, for me opening the door so you could go to heaven, you'd have gone to hell. He that believeth not hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of His Son. Well, I'm here in this church. I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized. I'm your legitimate pastor. And it's nice to know that. And I enjoy being here. And I'm ready to go home whenever God decides. It's not that I feel like I've stayed here till the right man showed up. I tried to help God in the past. I thought I was doing the right thing. But, you know, if you are a child of God and you learn you didn't do the right thing, not in your own particular purpose of life, but in, I tried to help God get a pastor of his church that I thought would be a good pastor. I don't do that anymore. I tried to get a man, I tried to pray for the man that God wants to pastor this church. And I don't offend the Holy Spirit. And sure, I've got a pick and a choice. But I learned, if you're going to work for God, you got to learn. You got to keep learning all your life. You got to quit having a high opinion of yourself. You got to quit receiving the witness of man. If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He's in me right now. I know he's in me. Because when I preach something that I have doubts about, I just get, I worry about it. I don't worry about this anymore. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You say, well, what about the people that are going to church all the time? They're very religious, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I pray for, I don't ask God to save them, because this is a personal matter between the individual. I want to pray for my, I just pray, Lord, help my brother. And I go on and go my way. And this is a personal matter between my brother and God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. I have the Son. He lives in me. You know, it took me a long time to come to that conclusion after I got saved. But I came to realize the only real power I have, I'm poor in spirit. You say, where'd you learn that? That's the first beatitude. Who taught you that, God? It's been a process, and here I am, your pastor. I belong here. I'm real glad to see Chuck here, because I appreciate and respect Chuck. I think he's a God-called man who wants to do what God wants. And and I didn't make him that way. He came along the same road I came along, and here we are, and we're not here by accident. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I couldn't know that I had eternal life if it hadn't been for God's grace. And God told us through Paul very plainly that it was necessary to repent toward God and put our faith in his Son. And you say, well, couldn't you just make this real easy? Oh yeah, I could run up and down the street and tell people, here's all you need to do, save, get a white sheet on or something. You know, I got enough baloney in me. I could persuade a mule. No, maybe not. But that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to live like he told me. I was called to be saved. I am saved. You say, where'd you learn all this other stuff? God taught me. Who taught you? The Holy Spirit. You say, well, who is God? God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm sitting here right now as I'm speaking to you, believing that I'm teaching you the truth. And I'm admitting to you, I just trust him. He taught me to do that. And I got to, and he puts thoughts in my head. And some of them, later on, he lets me know, I didn't put that there, Tom. He doesn't talk to me. But it sure would make a good message. And I don't do that anymore. I just look and pray and ask. And I am totally depraved. But now I have Christ living inside me. My carnal nature taunts me all the time. But I have the Lord. Now notice this part here. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. I want you to notice this one particularly. He says, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now notice, this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we, plural, have in Him. Now notice this. If we ask anything according to His will, He gives it to us. No. This is the confidence I have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I'm His child. I belong to Him. I'm saved, scripturally baptized, trying to worship Him, trying to understand, trying to know how God wants to be worshipped. And to give God some joy that we love Him. And if we know that He hear us, He says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Well, He does. I guarantee you He does. And if we know that He hear us, don't you think He hears you? Don't you think He hears you? He does. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. But He didn't say He'd give it to us. He hears us. If you had to pray a perfect prayer every time you prayed to the Lord, and you had to get it just right, you might even call Him Daddy. I don't know. But there is something inside me that makes me respect God to the point that I just can't live without Him. He said, we know that whosoever is born of God, well, He says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, but there is a sin unto death. I believe my brother is committing the sin unto death. And, you know, I feel like, I guess I look at the man that was down in hell, and Lazarus, there was a great gulf between them, and he wanted someone to go to his brothers and tell them. My brother almost got in a fight with me over this, and I didn't even know what he believed when I first came back from North Africa. Now here's something that you really need to look up, check it out, make sure I've told you the truth. But we know that whosoever born of God sinneth not. How can we know that? But he that was gotten of God keepeth himself. Now, I wish that the King James translators had translated what they got, the received text, textus receptus. I wish they hadn't done what they did there, but the King of England gave them instructions. Don't you put anything in there that would conflict with what we believe. You see that himself? That's autos. It means, and that wicked one toucheth him not. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I don't have strong faith. I'm weak. God's taught me that. Do you know what that word is that's himself? It's autos. And that wicked one toucheth him not. Nothing can separate me from God. Nothing. But he, Jesus, who was born of God, keeps him. That's what the original language says. I have taught, and don't use anything here but the King James translation. But when I come across something like this, and I don't know what the original said, I would not be doing a service to God if I did not point this out. That's what it says. But he, Jesus, who was born of God, keeps him. It's not himself, it's him. Jesus does it. It says, for the Son of God will guard him. But the Son who was born of God continues to keep him. See this fellow Williams? If you ever find a book, Interpretation of the Been Destroyed, I can't find mine. But Williams was a Baptist. He was a scriptural Baptist. He believed what we believe. And he wrote that book. And it was a translation. He translated it correctly. And it's the only way it makes sense. It is the Son of God who keeps him safe. So if you ever come across that book by Williams, I don't know if you'll ever find it. I can't find it anymore. I guess people thought it was heresy, but he wasn't a New Lighter or anything like that. He was a good, sound, solid Baptist. Romans 4, 6 through 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I am weak in the faith, but God's Son, Jesus Christ, all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. So I don't have enough strength to do anything. You say, well, what do? I believe that Jesus has. And I believe if I do what he tells me, that's what God wants. And when I do what he tells me, and I find peace inside, he knows that I'm trying to find the truth. He knows it. And eventually he sends somebody in here and they help me. I used to want to really impress people and to think I would be taught of someone else. God forgive me. But you know, God has a way of teaching you. Tom, I love him. I love her. And I love you. But the only reason you love me is because I first loved you. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's grace. You say, well, what did you learn from other preachers? I learned that you have to be saved to understand how to worship God. And if you get saved and try to worship him in a false church, be careful. I mean, I'll tell you right out, don't do it. Don't do it. Because it's you're actually insulting God. You're resisting the Holy Spirit. And that's all I can tell you. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. That's a present indicative active. And when I teach you something here, if it doesn't go with the King James, if I have to correct it, I will. But how many times have you ever seen me correct it? You just don't see it. Because the King James translation, if you understand what they're trying to get across, you don't have to correct it. But this is one you have to. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It's a one-way trip from death to eternal life in Jesus. You know, when I was younger, if we had had the number of people here that's here, I would have been very disappointed. You say, well, what's the difference? God taught me that it's a big city in heaven. Was this going to be a lot of room in there? Because there's going to be a lot of people living outside that city. And all I can do is warn them. So what's my goal? I want to teach the Word of God in spirit and in truth. I want Him to be pleased with me. And the only way I can make Him pleased with me is to let Him have His way in me and teach me so I'll be a better pastor. That's it. And I used it full time. And Chuck, you want to dismiss it?